The slopes are finally open. Come on up to the mountain and get some fresh air.
I'm so happy we're here and not in LA.
Ew.
Hey, calm down. Stop squishing then.
Let me see.
Out into the woods.
You didn't see him out there. He's forgetting obvious stuff.
Danny, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Danny's been through a lot.
Get out!
Danny! Michael! Can you guys get over this already? We only have a few days left. Come on, let's enjoy it.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa today. Well, you know what? We're going to be talking about what goes bump out in the woods, right, Nancy? We're talking about, you know, this movie that is out now digitally through Gravitas Ventures. It's called Old Strangers. And It is about friends getting out together. You know, the pandemic is weird and they've been holed up in their homes in LA and they go out to Big Bear. I just want to say shit happens. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry, but you know, it's true. But we're excited to welcome a TV director and indie filmmaker, Nick Gregorio to the show to talk about this thriller, horror thriller that he wrote, which is off the wall good. Sorry,
it's
I had to
awesome.
Say that because it's true. Stuff happens. It's not good enough.
It's scary.
It is about it. You know, I'm watching the very beginning. I know, no way. It's so perfectly set up with the music that you know something is lurking.
Something's going to happen. Well, thank you so much for having me, Lisa and Nancy. I'm excited to sit down and chat with you two about the movie. And thank you for the glowing review. I really appreciate it.
What shit happens?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good review.
Well, sorry. Okay, sorry. I'm going to have to, rate this R? But no, but
really.
It's true because, you know, and it's just so well done. And Nancy loves this. And it's like one of those things where I think what's especially beautifully good about the horror side is here are these three friends are. And of course, you know, the trio of friends, the dynamics are already going to be weird.
Exactly.
Two guys, one girl, you know, it's going to get weird. You know, something's going to go on. And so everyone, you have to watch this. I'm trying so hard not to spoiler, you know. But it's like at that time where everybody was going stark crazy in their apartments, in their homes, breaking out and finally getting to see each other. I mean, they got the mask on and then
it's the new normal.
Then it's like, okay, we're so excited. And there's this portion of the movie where they're all like, well, I don't know. This is weird. We don't know how to be around people anymore.
Yeah.
We don't know how to break out of that. And then it gets really weird. And I'm watching this going, Nick's a weird dude, man. This is what's going on in your head.
But these are weird times.
But I think because it's pandemic, like post-pandemic, but we're still in it.
Yeah.
That extra level just was like, because you think of COVID is like a weird thing. And that just was like, dude, you went there.
I went there. There was so much, you know, mental health issues during COVID and there still is a lot.
Yeah.
There was so much just people dealing with and wrestling with, like, am I doing the right thing? Like, what do I need to do for myself? How can I, you know, like, how long is it going to go on for? And when we made the movie, we were like, oh, it's not even going to be relevant by the time it comes out, but it's still, we're still very much in a similar situation where people are testing constantly and all that. So I'm kind of obsessed with this concept of how people treat each other online is almost like we've been body snatched. Like there's such a lack of like compassion or human interaction. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet someone face to face, it kind of, all that falls apart. All these like, all this anger and vitriol boils away and you get that moment with them. You get them, they're like, wow, we're back together. Like, we don't remember, like, this is real. Like, this is real. Us, it was like the campfire scene. Yeah.
I so agree. And I especially agree about texting, where here's your short 5 to 10 word message that usually makes no sense and it's totally typing errors all over the place, where you really have to guess what's actually happening. And like, are we just gonna, is this society gonna go down that rabbit hole where eventually we'll just go and people are supposed
to know?
Or
maybe we're gonna read our brainwaves, each other's brainwaves. Maybe we'll be abducted by aliens and then we'll all be able to have a uniform language without having to have a language.
How about
and I also love science fiction too. I mean, it's but I one of the operating procedures, so I made this movie with a really dear friend of mine, Drew Marion. He's my co-EP on this. Mm-hmm. He's my lead editor. He and I we did everything to the movie together in post-production. My cinematographer, Blake Gayton, who's absolutely amazing. Every single shot in the movie is lit. Yeah. Like we did not rush through any of the setups. Like for a low budget indie, and it's really low budget, we did not rush through any of the setups. We wanted to make sure it looked like $1 million. And Kate Matlock, my makeup effects designer, and my cast, Madeline Humphreys, Ted Evans, Colton Achief Mastro, everyone was so committed to this project. And it was one of the few sets, and I think it's because we were all coming off of like being completely stir crazy, but we worked so closely together. And I'm not kidding, we had one cabin that we bubbled in, one cabin that we shot in. So the crew stayed in one, the cast stayed in like the main cabin. We were doing like 15-hour days.
I bet.
There wasn't a single fight, argument, disagreement, nothing. And,
wow.
And we were, and I've been on a lot of sets. It was the best set I've ever been on. It was just a very positive energy. And I think, you know, it's because of that human interaction. Like, we got to do the thing that we love doing together. And for so long, we were kind of deprived that, because we had all worked on the show for DC Comics really closely in this small studio in Burbank.
And Yeah.
It's called DC Daily. Mm-hmm. It was a daily show we did for the DC Universe platform, the short-lived DC Universe platform, but it was a big WB initiative at one point. And we just worked together on so many projects. And then there was this year where we just didn't even see each other, let alone like work together. And then I wrote most of the movie in one sitting. Drew, and I was like, Drew, if you want to do this, I'm doing it. And he was like, I'm in. And I was like, all right, if Blake is in, then we're doing it. And I called Blake and he said, of course, you don't have to tell me what it is. We're doing it. So, and then I called up Kate and she was like, yeah, let's do it. So
I love that. I love that synergy when it happens. We have that too. We have some weird radio plays that we've done over the years. And we're like, we haven't done one.
We have to do another one.
Our next one is, we're doing a World Sausage Festival. We're doing a sausage radio play. But anyway, that's coming. I'm serious.
All right.
I know it's weird, like, but what? It's a whole other thing. But, you know, you do this and you know, okay, like if so-and-so says, like Steve Schneikert's our Hollywood historian, we always call him like Steve. He gets this call and he always knows by our voice. I don't know if he knows, because even if we don't leave a voice message, when he knows something is up, because maybe we've just talked to him, he knows. So if we just call out of the blue, he goes, yes, what's brewing? He already knows. He knows it's about to happen. And it's like, let's go. Unless there's something weird, he'll go, we got to tweak this, but let's go. And it's such a cool feeling. And I think, you know, that's what was so cool about this, you know, production with you guys doing this, you know, post-pandemic, but it is that feeling of yippee, let's go. But you still like really had us sit there going, what's going on? What's going on? At the same time, there was that vulnerability, that open emotion of the characters, because they're dealing with their stuff, and yet you know there's still something going on. You already know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like, woo.
before my long aside, when we were cutting the movie, and what I kept saying to the cast on set was, you don't know you're in a horror movie. Like, you have to remember that. You have to remember that, like, if people go missing in real life, you don't go, oh my God, it's a monster. You go like, oh my God, like, this person's going through something. And that was so important to the story, because I couldn't have you just be like, oh, it's a monster movie, we're done. Or, oh, it's an alien movie, we're done. Like, the humanity of it, which to me is sometimes more terrifying, because it's you wrestling with yourself or wrestling.
Right,
with
it gets weird.
It gets weird. And
well, you drew that lot. You had that.
Thank you.
Weird, like, okay.
Yeah, and they go through some real stuff. You know, they go through some real stuff, and they kind of have to, like, they're not. What I noticed, what sort of inspired this picture, was I was connecting with a lot of people from my past, and initially you're like, oh wow, like, we can Zoom and chat with each other, but then you start to realize, oh, it's been 10 years since we kicked it like we used to.
Wow.
Oh,
and
that's cool. Yeah.
And the commonality you once had sort of isn't there anymore, and you're like trying to relate to each other as current adults, but really all you have is that the commonality of nostalgia, and that, and you keep hearkening back to those good times. So, and I wanted to capture that in Old Strangers, where, like, the thrill of seeing each other, in the story, they knew each other in college. They were, and then over the next 10 years, they sort of were in and out of touch, but recently reconnected because of the pandemic and Zoom and Skype and all that stuff. But then you start to chip away from the veneer of, like, oh, it's so good to see you. And then it's like, yeah, but I've been going through shit, and you've been going through shit, and so have you.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to share some of that stuff. So I wanted that to be just as much as an important factor as the genre sci-fi element.
But I think that's what's so beautiful, is you have this hardcore, like, character. And I love it when there's real character actors. We talk about this. Britain, you know, England's, you know, they rock character acting, and where you get into it, they don't care about their looks, they just get right into it. And I think that's something we'd like to see more of in the state productions.
I agree.
You have that with this work, but, you know, that's what is such as for the viewer, when we're watching this, we're like, oh my God. And then you know it's coming.
But the actor who plays the one, I don't want to give anything away, so I'm going to have to think how I say this.
Danny has dark hair. Michael has blonde hair.
No, but I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but he changes. His facial acting is superb. Like, his jaw comes out and out. And I'm like, dude, this is one scary guy.
That's Colton. And Colton, you know, Colton had to do kind of the hardest job in the movie performance-wise. Where that turn, that we'll just say that turn of events, if not handled well, can sink the movie. Can absolutely sink it. You can be like, you know, if, like, you don't buy that moment, and you don't buy what's happening with him, it's over. Like, it doesn't matter.
Dude, I was getting chills. I'm like, man, I'm going to turn on lights and lock doors.
It almost has a werewolf thing going too. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was the other thing. You talk about the body snatchers, and then there's like a werewolf vibe in it. And I'm like, this is so cool. I think, you know, it kind of brought me back to things I grew up with. I think the 80s put out some really good stuff. Right. Yeah. Where it was just like, go for it. Just bend the rules. Don't listen to your parents. Go for it.
Oh, hello. And I'm sitting right here.
I know. But I mean, that's the thing you love. And this had that quality to me of bringing me back to my roots of just go for it. And you know, but it was just beautiful that way. Just having that, you know, I don't know if you know what I mean about that.
I know it's so major inspirations visually or thematically, The Shining, John Carpenter, The Thing, even a little bit of Halloween.
Oh yeah.
The kind of genre stylings of like an original Friday the 13th, where you're in like Crystal Lake, when I, the first time, I'm from the East Coast. So I moved out to California. It's been like 12 years now. But the first time I went to Big Bear, I was like, what is this? Like a horror movie set? Like, this is amazing. Like, it's so,
it's so a Blair Witch Project. I was wondering if it was
And it just, it has that vibe. It has almost like a timeless vibe to it. And one of the things I was trying to capture with the movie was isolation. And like, if you know, Big Bear is a little bit more populated than it
appears
in the movie, but we really went out of our way to be like, no, there's a cabin in the woods. There isn't a lot going on. It's a long road.
You did a nice travel scene. Like, to me, I was going, there's some good cinematography in here that we need to all use for promoting, because that's what we do. We travel and do parks and public lands. That's why we travel full time. So this is our thing, what you guys are doing. I'm like, okay, because we play like horror. Like, I mean, we go out in swamps and play alligators. We do all kinds of weird stuff. And we're all going, you know, that's where Nancy's weird. And
oh, thank you.
But I know her brain. I mean, I'm her daughter. So I'll be out there filming. I'll go, you know what? This plant looks so odd. Like this plant, like, you know, it's photographing pitcher plants, which are carnivorous. Oh. And so then you're starting to film it. And then you start seeing that they all look like a little choir.
Yes.
And you can see, like, I know exactly. And
if people were shrunk down, you could die in a pitcher plant.
And you can see their little faces in the pitcher plant. And I was seeing all kinds of weird, trippy stuff in what you guys were doing. But here's this beautiful, serene, peaceful place. And then all of a sudden, I know we deal alligators or whatever, but there's this whole element that suddenly gets weird. And nature is weird to film in.
Like, if
you know, are you used to filming in nature? Like,
so I've... Of the projects I've done, I have like two other feature films that I made in my early 20s. One called Happy Birthday, Harris Malden. The other's called Green. Happy Birthday, Harris Malden is about a guy who fakes his mustache by drawing it on with a marker. It was shot in South Philadelphia, my old neighborhood. It's about it's the lies we tell ourselves and the people that we insulate ourselves with that help kind of protect us from our own lies. And then Green is about, it's a very genre-y, guy from the East Coast moves to California to open a medical marijuana shop and can't and ends up getting back into nefarious dealings. And that was also a lot of on location stuff. And then I spent a ton of time just shooting in studios. And that's very comfortable. But going back to like actually shooting in nature and wherever you point your camera, you have something. Like and the last third of the movie, I think, is a great example of that. Like, no matter where you point the camera, and we lucked out, it snowed. You're like, snow
in
the
movie. That's so cool.
But when you're shooting in nature, there's nothing left up to the imagination, right? Like, we're so used to so much CGI and compositing in movies now, where all the backgrounds are fake and half the actors are fake in it. There's something really grounding about like your big set pieces, your big scenes taking place in a real location that is tangible. And like, I think you can feel it. And I think it increases the tension, because you look and you keep looking through those trees and just more trees. And there's not like, oh, there's a city in the background or there's.
And then you have to deal with lighting differently.
And it's real.
But then when you get real snow, you don't have to generate that yourself.
No,
I know. Awesome. That's awesome.
The movie gods shine their light upon us that day. What?
We are actually where we're this month, and even when this airs, we'll still be here. We're in Peachtree City, Georgia, which is right outside Atlanta. So, and our backyard is The Walking Dead location. This is where everything is filmed. And we're listening to how this region is like one of the most up and coming film locations in the country, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I've got Tyler Perry Studios, but there's all these studios, but they're also doing so much on education. So, and it's become this huge, they were really smart about putting out education platforms immediately through all the different colleges and systems, not just in Atlanta, but the state of Georgia, where the state and everybody involved, the cities, everybody got together and said, let's make this work for our communities. Mm-hmm. And they're making a ton of money. I mean, this is doing so much for education. It's doing so much for the state and everything. And it was just really interesting to hear, because they've got sound stages here, there, and everywhere. But they also talk, it's a balance of that and having the locations and the kind of houses that people are looking for and, you know, to film in, and they have forest and then they have lakes. I mean, there's got swampy areas where people can, you know, be filmed dying and, you know, all kinds of good. They've got zombies running around, but it's really interesting because we've been to some of the smaller towns and we're with friends, and I'm like, were these towns like this before the movies came in? And they're like, no, they've really cleaned. Now they've got this revitalization, and it seems like, you know, it's boosted jobs, it's done so much. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on that, because even with what you do in TV directing and then just as an independent filmmaker, I think it really adds to places when you do film, like in Big Bear, that adds to another list for
absolutely
people to go, hey, I saw this movie, I want to go to Big Bear, you know. It's, you know what I mean? I think it's really huge. I know it's long-winded what I was saying, but it's pretty impactful what the film industry does.
We're actually gonna, I think we're doing, it should be out by the time this airs, it should be out. We're doing a giveaway for a two-night stay at the cabin.
At the cabin.
Ooh. Yeah.
No way. That's freaky.
So all you have to do is take a screenshot of your receipt that you bought the movie, or a screenshot of your review. You have to buy the movie and review it. And then send that to oldstrangers@gmail.com, oldstrangersmovie@gmail.com. And then we're just going to do a random, pick a random number, and whoever gets it's going to have a two-night stay at the cabin. So,
and do you know what the deadline on that is, just because of air dates and other features that we run this through? I don't want to get everybody mad at us.
we'll probably run that for probably a month or two as people start to watch the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
So the actor's going to go up there and scare the people when they're at the cabin.
Yeah, it's going to be me with a rubber mask. Yeah.
No. There's other things that could happen. There's other things.
Yeah. What do you, the cabin is beautiful.
What do you think it is about people that make them want to be scared in a film? Like, what is it that makes us, I mean, mostly in our real lives, we don't want to be scared. It's annoying.
I think it's the adrenaline rush you get from it.
Yeah.
When it's like a controlled, I don't know, it's like eating hot foods. Like, you know, you're not going to die from it, but it's going to get you to the point where you're like, oh my goodness, like, what's going on here? And I think, there's something interesting. Like, I label Old Strangers as a thriller, like a subgenre thriller, sci-fi thriller. And I think thrillers are interesting because it raises questions, and that's very intriguing. You're like, what's happening? What's going on? I need to follow along. I need to pay attention. And then you start adding those life or death stakes. And I think as humans, like animals, like on a very animalistic level, we say, oh my goodness, like that could be, like you put yourself in the shoes and you're like, oh my God, what if I was being chased or this and that? And there's like an adrenaline spike. And I think there's something very primal about feeling threatened, but knowing that you're not gonna die. Like there's something exhilarating about that. I don't know.
And you're invested in the characters too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like watching sports in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, run. Don't trip.
Run.
run. So
run, Forrest, run.
It's awesome that you even got to make this. I think this is, you know, it's amazing how films were able to turn around. I mean, just be able to get going. You know, I know musicians have had a rough time. We do a lot of work with music and it sucks, but we have a lot of good music out now. It's a lot of music's come out, but you know, it's like, here, go back on tour. And then as you're like, oh, we're gonna do it, and now it sucks. I mean, the Grammys are being pulled. I mean, all these things, you know, it's back and forth. But for you guys to be able to go out and do that, that had to be super special to be able to get back out there.
Yeah, it was I needed it, you know, like to be completely honest. Like it was a rough go for me. Much of what I had built professionally felt like it was gone.
Yeah.
The studio that I had built over the course of like 4 or 5 years with people was no longer in business. Work we did, you know, like it just kind of felt like it vanished, it disappeared. And it one of my frustrations, because I am still like, I'm always going to be indie. I'm always going to feel like an outsider to like the production world here in Los Angeles. They just sort of threw in the towel. In the case of WB, they laid off 6,000 people.
Wow.
But none of the executives got laid off.
Of course not.
And all these, and that's like the, that's sort of the big twist of all of this. Yeah. Is the people that weren't doing any of the work all kept their jobs. Like all the corporate level.
So all the creative. Yeah. So that's what they were saying about Atlanta. They opened up super fast, turned around. Mm-hmm. How can we make it safe for people to get back to work immediately? And that's why they've managed to keep going, which because they started, they had this network where they were saying LA's network is so competitive that they actually don't have a network of unity anymore in a way.
That's like kill or be killed, actually, out there. That Hollywood and LA are very much, it's so competitive.
It's so competitive. It's competitive at every level. And that is not hyperbole. It is kill or be killed
at
every level. Do not be fooled by the talking points. It is still very much a cutthroat industry.
Yeah.
And you know, if I was able to do it, I followed the protocol, the COVID protocol. Everyone got tested 36 hours before we shot. Everyone that came up on the team had a negative test result. We bubbled. Only myself or Drew, and I had just had COVID, so I had like natural
immunity.
So I had just got off of COVID, like my whole house did, my wife and kids. So we were the only ones that ever left on runs. We wouldn't let anyone else do that. Everyone just stayed up there, and that was, I feel like, one of the safest ways you could do that. The major studios all had giant sound stages just sitting there empty. They could have easily turned it into like mini bubble
campaigns
and dusted off those old $20 million scripts, you know, the ones that are more character driven and less big budget blockbuster, but they didn't.
Interesting. When the pandemic initially hit, we were in 29 Palms outside Joshua Tree National Park. We can see it. We used to live right out there with a friend who was at bed and breakfast out there. And so we were stuck there. And she was like, we're supposed to go to Big Bear. She lives in Big Bear too. We didn't get to go. But anyway, so we were there. And so we just started doing live broadcasts every day, you know, just all audio, because that's what we're doing at the time. And we had people on for all around the world. And the people who didn't were like, you know, the people we work with all the time in the tourism industry. There were some that were really like, let's keep things going. But we're so stuck in the mode of, we always promote events and we don't have events and we don't want people to come and try to get hotel rooms. We don't want people to come in. I'm like, this is a time to tell the stories of your community. Yeah, you know, who founded your community? You have historical markers for a reason. You have like community spirit. What are you doing? And it was interesting to see that shift of people. Some just like, oh, we can't do anything. And some just go, let's. And then there was a smaller percentage, but you know, the ones that jumped in and we continued on. And musicians were the first. Musicians were like, dude, I don't know what to do. Like, let's do something. And they were doing live streams and we're like, okay, we can at least promote those. You know, everybody had to do something, but that simple shutdown mentality. Like, I understand certain, like, don't have, maybe not have the Grammys. That may be, you know, asking for it because you're in a closed place. Or you could go out of nature and change it up and not wear all your outfits. But, you know.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I'm just saying.
You could run through the woods.
You could run through the woods. You could totally, here, go fetch. Here's your award. Go fetch.
You could run through the woods.
There is that way of thinking, and it's so cool to see that. I think all the creative people that are sitting there going, well, I got time to be creative and I need to bust out of this. But I think this is also where it's so important to have independence, because independent spirit does not die unless you allow it to. And when it becomes these big corporations, they like to go,
that are the move forward, do something different. and they're not shackled other than by budget, which is too bad, but that happens. But sometimes that actually makes you work even more creatively. And then the other side is just doing what it's doing. And eventually series get canceled and things get canceled because they forgot or they lack the drive and the energy. Like if something is a given, then it is really not as appreciated as if you work for it.
I think that's 100% true. I'll also say this. If you work hard for something, rarely do you fail. It might not be the outcome you expected,
but
you will gain something from it.
Somewhere.
You know? At least from it. Joy in your heart.
Joy in your heart.
That's a huge deal, you know?
Or new, but you always make new connections, new acquaintances, and you don't know where that's going to go. And it also tells people, tells people that you are a doer, that, you know, and that it's very valuable. I love that you brought up like independent thinking, independent. Like that's kind of what indie film used to be.
Yeah.
I kind of turned my nose up at the new indie, which is just a Hollywood movie, but it doesn't have superheroes in it, you know? And I enjoyed the movie Nomadland, but that's not an indie movie. Like Frances McDormand is a megastar Oscar winner. And it's, you know, like these aren't,
they we have more fun on the road than she does.
Yeah,
I was going to tell you. When we watch that, everybody's like asking us, did you enjoy watching it? And we're like, we're just, I don't know. We have way more fun.
Yeah. So I know it's one of those things where you're like, I also take offense when like millionaires are like, we're going to slum it and tell this. Like I'm an Italian American, and any movie that's ever made about my culture needs to be.
You're going
to
shoot everybody. Right.
Yeah, it needs to be a gangster picture, and everyone needs to talk with a fifth grade reading level. Oh, yo, what are you doing over there? You know, like, God forbid there was ever nuance to it. Like, no, just like, so I do take offense to when Hollywood, in all their infinite charity and wisdom, decide to tackle, like, we're gonna tell the story about the common folk, and everyone's like dirty and like
I know
it's stupid.
They all live in a barn.
Yeah, uneducated. Stupid.
And we live in a barn that's like we haven't painted.
Yeah.
It's like we haven't kept up the joint from 1930.
You know, I think that you should be the person, it could be, to make a movie called The Boardroom, and the board of directors could be seriously different characters. They look normal until they get into the meeting, and then they're all from different worlds or planets or other places, and then they turn into these kind of like monsters.
I will tell you, here's a Hollywood secret, sorry to spill the beans, but most executives hate movies and television. They don't even watch them. That's a fact.
Well, I remember once going to a meeting. Well, it was the same meeting. It was the most, we've had, you know, being women in business, mother, daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our 25 year anniversary, the magazines, radio,
all of it.
Thank you. It's been kind of a journey. And
but that's, I remember in
back
country.
In our print days, one guy goes, and their print job sucked.
Yeah, it did.
And we're looking at this going, no, you need to pull the press.
It.
You need to stop.
And
you can see it's blurred. And the guy turns around to Nancy and goes, oh, I really love that blouse on you. And we both looked at him like,
royal.
Yeah, I mean, don't. I've already displayed a tiny portion of our language. But anyway, so then that was just one of those things. And then it's just like there's this, we went to a business meeting and it was a marketing thing. Obviously, we do that. We're independent. We're completely independent because then you can say whatever. Yeah. And you have more integrity when you're independent as much as you can. And sometimes you have to do things because you do need food on the table. But this was one of these meetings and it was mother, daughter, and I handled all the marketing side and the business on that side. And the one guy goes, well, who's the bullshitter here?
Oh, I know.
I'm the bullshitter because I'm on that side. And then we're talking about, you know, logos and stuff, and the guy goes, oh God, it's the creatives, like let the creatives do that, and then just, you know, whatever, and just kind of and we're both looking at him like, we're both the creatives, we're both the business people. Mm-hmm. And then it's like automatically Nancy's the iron fist because she's the mother. It's like these stereotypes were just building up one after the other in this meeting. And we're just like, your rate is going higher and higher and higher. How much money are you going to spend now?
Yeah.
And they actually went out of business. So anyway,
yeah, here. Gee, what a surprise.
It's just like, so it's just this weird thing of these scenarios. And it's like, I feel like the independence, I feel like COVID has kind of made us all research and work together better. And we have to. And it's not just film, music, authors, it's the small businesses, the mom and pop stores. We've got to look at things like, okay, we have Amazon, which is great for videos and movies and everything. However, what can we do to support actual local stores for authors? And what can we, you know what I mean? So we've got to kind of, I feel like, I wish we had an independent collective that was not a bunch of executives at the top.
Exactly. Like true artists that and musicians and
small and business filmmakers owners
that globally, not the people at the top of some corporate thing that doesn't really care or even see your movies, maybe even if they help produce it, don't even watch it kind of people.
True. Very true.
The actual people on the ground, you know, and then, you know, if you say too much of things like that, people will call you a
communist. We're all going to get in trouble by somebody somewhere.
No, but I really, I just sometimes when I watch the news, I see monsters.
I wanted to show that in the opening of Old Strangers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show kind of, there was a real impact. Like a lot of people, I think everyone has their own level of comfort and safety that they want to maintain. So I don't, each his own, right? But I wanted to show that COVID has affected small business. It has affected tourism. Mm. Like it has hurt areas that depend upon people coming out to visit and enjoy the atmosphere there.
Right.
Big Bear wasn't as depressed as the movie shows, but places did shut down.
Oh, we know. I mean, we do know that's our main business, and we know. And it's like, I thought you did a brilliant setup of it at the beginning, and I want people to watch it and see what we're talking about. But it really did impact that. But then, if you just even taught it now and having just watched it, you can say that. It's like COVID came full circle in this. Do you know what I mean? The whole movie could be that. You know, it's like there's this full circle.
That's beauty of
what you've done on that. It's great. But you know, I hope you're going to do more. I mean, Nancy was saying she really wants to see this as a series.
Well, there's a sequel. There is a sequel, and it's ironically enough, I wrote the sequel before I wrote this movie. I'd just been entrenched in that world, but. The sequel's called Not Like Us, and it's about three friends from Philadelphia that pull over to a roadside bar in Buffalo, New York. And when they get trapped, they get snowed in, and they find out that something, an invasion of some type is happening, and they don't know who to trust within the bar.
But at least you're in a bar.
Yeah,
you're in a bar. That helps.
I actually made that a radio play. I think it's still
available. Oh, no way.
Really?
Yeah, I did it as a radio play.
Oh, no way. That's
it's
cool.
It's a four or five part radio play. It's called Not Like Us. It's on Apple and.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
go watch Old Strangers. And you can get Old Strangers on any VOD platforms. Right now to buy or rent. So you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, YouTube, Vimeo,
Comcast
On Demand, Verizon Fios On Demand. You can actually buy a DVD or Blu-ray from Walmart.com, Target.com, and Best Buy.com. I still kind of buy physical media because I feel like it forces me to watch what I'm going to watch. Because normally when you're on
value.
I'm very excited to own the DVD of this because it's such sort of a bygone purchase.
Well, it's like vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
One day we'll have vinyl DVDs. You know? Like our record players will play.
Is people loading up a film reel? They're like,
yeah. Oh, but that's so cool. I mean, there's just that whole sound of the tape rolling. And then you like popcorn. There's something just amazing about that.
It's
that
warmer. I wish we could still warmer. Have. Yeah, it's warmer.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, that was and that's we shot with a camera called the Arri Alexa. Of all the digital cameras, it is the warmest. It's the like you know describing it as it's like it's the warmest. It feels
but crisp, man. It was the cinematography was really good, and I was wondering about that because I know it's like okay, you're shooting this pseudo post-pandemic whatever in the middle, but what is it like? I mean, were you guys having to wear masks to film? Because I've had to do that filming, just we do recipe videos in bed and breakfast and whatever, and it's like everyone's masked up and this you know the screens you know you're breathing and it's it
no we didn't
it
we didn't
sucks
we tested again. It was so a very small team to. it was only 10 people all in including the cast, but we tested. And we're like, look, we're going to be indoors in a house together for a week. We're going to be like sharing rooms. I'm like, if anyone gets something, we're all getting it. And if no one gets something, no one's getting it. And thankfully, we were safe in all the ways that I think you need to be safe without being irrational. Like at any point, you know, it's like we're shooting a lot of it outside, but we are shooting indoors. Our talent had like if some people had masks and it was cold, so you would just like wear sometimes the mask was just warm. So, but if anyone did not feel safe, then all of us would have put a mask on. But we all felt very safe. We all felt we did what we needed to do leading up to it, and we weren't. It's not like people after we wrapped were like going out and drinking. We just like went back home and then
we went to sleep, man. Yeah, because it's 50 nowadays.
We were just working the whole time, so there wasn't really an opportunity.
I think it's when the drinking thing happens, that's when people forget your distance. You know, it's like, I love you, man. Now I'm gonna give you COVID. Yeah.
No, but it's so weird. I mean, if you think about it, 20 something years ago, if you went into a bank with a mask, you caused trouble.
Now you go to the bank without a mask.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
We dressed up as clowns once for a fundraising thing that we did this project, and we did try to go through drive-throughs.
We went through a drive-through dressed as clowns. It didn't turn out well.
It's not very popular. But it was fun. But thank you, Nick, for joining us. It's been a great conversation, and long hail independence. You know, it's like we have to all do what we have to do, and we do have to work with the man at times.
Well, I want to see the sequel.
Give it a listen.
You guys saw the movie, which thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show. Lisa, Nancy was awesome. Great talking to you. Keep fighting the good fight, traveling around, like highlighting the independent people of this country. I think it's awesome.
Oh man, it's exciting. And one day I think I'll just join. I will start an organization of like the Indie Spirit United. Something has to. I want someone to do it. I don't have time. Somebody has to do it. It's like would be the coolest nonprofit global organization of just independent spirit. So someone has to do it. It would be really cool.
I'm around
without turning corporate.
Right.
Well, that's the tough part because money's cool.
It is. Money is. money.
We do have
that.
To give a shout out to our sponsor, and they're cool. They're a nonprofit, and we put them on everything because we love them. It's the National Parks Arts Foundation, and they are the coolest. They rock.
You so they connect.
Have. Yeah, you should do this, man. Because I was thinking about like a sequel or a series, and then you've got to do this. So check this out. They put artists apply, and then it goes through a jury process to be an artist in residence in a national park for a full month. And so we're talking Hawaii volcanoes, where you get your own 6-bedroom house, your family can go to while you film, a whole crew. They have a sound recording studio. Whoa. You overlook the ocean and you could go to the volcanoes. I'm just saying lava goes with what you did. I'm just saying lava. And old strangers.
Send me that info. I don't know.
So they do that. There's Dry Tortugas, where you have to take a partner with you because you're on your own island off grid for a full month, off in the Florida Keys on Old Loggerhead. And you've got solar power, but that's that. There's places like Chaco Canyon in northern New Mexico, Death Valley for night sky photography. So filmmakers, movies have been made and TV series have come out of this program, which is pretty awesome. Their work is incredible. So everyone, nationalparksartsfoundation.org, artists, whether you're an artist, a musician, filmmaker, poet, writer, fiber artist, I mean, ceramic artist, it doesn't matter. It's in the arts. Go check it out and apply. It is one of the coolest programs on the planet. So nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Thank you, Nick. Everyone go see Old Strangers on VOD and keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks, everyone. Bye.